Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad that you found us today. I've got a question for you. Are you feeling stuck? Like maybe you've hit a wall and just nothing's moving forward? Well, you're not alone, and you're not without hope. You know, the Bible is full of people who faced impossible situations, like Mary, Noah, Job, even the Apostle Paul. And they all experienced one thing that changed everything, a breakthrough from God. So today, Pastor Rick continues his series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Rick's going to walk us through biblical accounts of faith, prayer, and perseverance, reminding us that God still moves in powerful ways. Whether you're in a season of waiting or searching for hope, this series offers encouragement and biblical truth to help you keep going and get the breakthrough you need. And now here's Rick with part two of a message called How to Pray in a Crisis.
Now, did you know that you can actually do this with God? You can turn your face to God in prayer. How? Physically. Just look up. God, I'm here. I'm ready to talk. I'm checking in for my three times a day conversation. You can go outside and look up at the heavens. You can stare up at you just look up. There's nothing in the Bible says you have to close your eyes to pray. Nothing in the Bible says you have to bow your head to pray. That's one of the ways to pray. It's a good way. But many times in the Bible, people didn't close their eyes. They actually looked up and they talked aloud. I like to pray aloud to God. When I close my eyes and think, I go to sleep. I don't pray with my eyes closed, and I don't pray in my mind. When I'm praying aloud, and I'm driving the car, or I'm looking up, or whatever. You could get in your lazy boy chair and lean back, look up. God, I'm turning my face to you. Okay? Look straight. But it's a physical reminder that I'm refocusing my attention. Okay, this is what Daniel did. He physically notice verse 3 in the New American Standard Version, it says this, so I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer. Circle the word seek. This is the second step of prayer. The first is listening. The second step of prayer is seeking. And now we're going to talk a lot about this. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you how to do this. You're going to get really good at seeking God. And during the 34 days of seeking God, I'm going to teach you about this, so I'm not going to cover it right now. But let me just show you some of the benefits. If you'll learn how to do this, it'll change your life. Your whole life's just going to get a whole lot better. Let me just show you three or four or five promises. How about this one up here on the screen? Amos 5:4. God says this, seek me and you will live. In other words, you're not going to just exist. You're going to really live. You're not living life to the fullest. Some of you are just existing. He says, seek me and you will live. You're going to learn how to really live. Proverbs 8, verse 17. God says this, I love those who love me and those who seek me will what? Find me. Find me. You say, I can't find God. You're not seeking. You got to seek in the right way. Those who seek me will find me. Let me show you another one. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says this. God says, you will find me when you seek me what? With all your heart. That's serious. That's emotional seeking. We'll talk about that in a minute. You're going to find me when you really want to know me. Not like, oh yeah, I kind of like to know God in my spare time between the football game and work, maybe. No, when you seek me with all your heart, then you're going to know me. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Would you like God to reward your business? Seek him. Would you like God to reward your finances? Seek him. Would you like God to reward your marriage? Seek him. Would you guys like God to reward your children? Would you like God to reward your relationships, your boyfriend, your girlfriend? Would you like God to reward your future? Wherever you seek God, God is going to reward. Wherever you don't seek God, God says, you're on your own. You're on your own. Let me show you another verse. This is a very familiar one, Luke chapter 12. Jesus says this, seek, there's that word again, seek first God's kingdom before everything else. God's kingdom is his priorities, not your priorities, his priorities, before everything else. And all the other things you need will be given to you. Another one of those blanket promises. He says, don't seek wealth. Seek God. He'll take care of what you need. Don't seek fame. Seek God. He'll take care of what you need. Don't seek pleasure. Don't seek a husband. Don't seek all these other things you're seeking. He says, seek first me. And if I'm in first place, because I'm going to take everything else into consideration. You put me first. I bless the people who put me first. You have probably never realized this, but of a lot of the pain you're in right now, the difficulties, the stress, the pressure you feel, the troubles you're facing, the mess that's all tangled up in relationships, almost all of that stuff that you're facing right now is the result of you not seeking God, because you didn't ask God first. You didn't seek his guidance. You didn't seek his wisdom. You didn't seek his help. You didn't seek his permission. You just made a decision. And so you went out and you bought something without even asking God. God, should I buy this house? Should I do this job? Should I do this car? Should I get in this relationship? You didn't even ask God. You didn't seek God. You just did it. And now you're reaping the consequences of it. And that causes so much of the problem in your life because you made a decision without talking to God first. You weren't having that daily conversation with God. God, I'm getting ready to Costco. Go to Costco. Help. Because I don't want to come home with four giant jars of pickles that I really don't need. In every area you ask God, you seek God, he'll help, even bless, he'll bless your shopping. Now, here's a very important point. Anytime we ignore God, we don't ask for his help, we don't ask for his guidance, we don't ask for his blessing, we don't ask for his permission, we don't ask for his wisdom. You know what God does? When we don't ask for those things, don't ask for his direction, God just backs off in your life. Fine. I only go where I'm invited. So God says to you, Burger King, have it your way. Go right ahead, okay? You didn't ask me if you should buy that. You didn't ask me if you should date her. You didn't ask me if you should accept that job. You didn't ask me if that was a good goal. You just did it. So fine, have it your way. And God just backs off. He says, I'll just go back to heaven, hang out there, and let you reap the results of your decisions. And then you got all kinds of chaos and problems and trials and troubles in your life. And then you cry out to God and say, God, I'm seeking you. He goes, okay, I'm coming back. And that's what happens when we reap the consequences of our sin. Let me show you this on the screen, Hosea chapter 5. God says this, when I don't seek God in every area of my life, he says this, okay, I will return to my place on high, and I'll just wait. And I'll just wait until they, that's you and me, acknowledge your offenses. We didn't seek God. We didn't ask him his opinion in this decision. And they feel their guilt, and then they seek my face. And then in their troubles and distress, which is always getting our attention, they will earnestly seek me, saying, let us return to the Lord so that he may heal us. Friends, that is a description of what's happening in America and in the world right now. Because we have not sought God. We didn't ask God's permission. We didn't ask God's wisdom. We didn't ask God's help. We didn't ask God's guidance. We just did whatever we wanted to do, and we're in trouble and distress. And that's in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our work. And finally, it gets so bad, you know, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. And we say, let us return to the Lord so he may heal us. What needs healing in your life? God, I need you to heal me of my depression. I need you to heal me of my anxiety. I need you to heal me of my secret fears that scare me to death, that I'm panicked about. God, I need you to heal my body. God, I need you to heal the finances that I messed up because of my own decisions. God, I need you to heal my marriage. I need you to heal my relationship. God, I need you to heal my nation. I need healing. My job, my career needs healing. I don't know where you need it, but he says it starts with focusing my attention on God and seeking him. So let me ask you a couple questions here. Is it possible that the pain you're going through right now is because you did not seek God, but you just went ahead and made a decision without checking in with him? Highly probable. And now God said, I could have saved you a lot of effort if you just sought me. Just have a conversation with me two or three times a day, and I'll go, red light, danger, red, Will Robinson, that's danger. Don't go that direction. Is it possible? Yes, that pain is because you did not seek God in the past. You made a bunch of dumb decisions, and now you're paying the results of it. Question, let me rephrase it in a more positive way. What are you really, really looking for in life? What are you really looking for in life? If you were to paint out next year and say, this is the way I want my life to be next year. This would be the ideal year for me. This would be the perfect year for me. I'd like to see these things happen in my life. I'd like to see these changes in my life. If you painted out that picture, what would it be? And I follow up that with this question. Is it worth spending 34 days seeking God to get you ready for next year? Yes. And it'll save you from an awful lot of pain and heartache and discouragement. And that's where we're going to go next. It's 34 days of seeking God. Okay, here's the third step. The third step in prayers that get answered is express my desires with emotion. Express my desires. When I want to ask God for something, I'm praying about it. God, I need this. Whether it's a physical need, a material need, a spiritual need, an emotional need, whatever you're asking for God in prayer, you express my emotion, my desire with emotion. So many of our prayers are just cut and dried. We just say these words and we don't even know what we're talking about. We have these little, you know, things we've memorized. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That means nothing. It's just a little thing. Or you sit down and feed, you say, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Bless the gift and the giver. And it's not, there's no emotion. There's no authenticity. It's just things you've learned. God doesn't care how beautiful your prayer sounds. In fact, God doesn't even care as much about the words as he cares as much about the emotions. Have you learned that you can say the right words in the wrong emotion and your spouse doesn't get it? Yes. You can say all the right things, but you didn't. What do you mean by that? Because of the tone of your voice. And so he's saying God is an emotional God. The only reason you have emotions, the good ones and the bad ones, is because you're made in God's image. Human beings have emotions that none of the animals have. We have a whole panoply of emotions because God is an emotional God. The Bible says God gets happy. The Bible says God gets sad. He's sad when he sees a rape, when he sees a molestation, when he sees a war. God is sad when he sees what people do to each other out of selfishness. And the Bible says God gets angry. That's why you can get angry. You're made in God's image. The Bible says God gets jealous. Why? And that's why you get jealous. Because when God sees you giving your love to something else instead of him that belongs to him, he gets jealous. The Bible says God gets frustrated. He looks down and he sees all of the stuff we're doing. He goes, I told you not to do that, and you're doing it anyway. It's going to mess you up. It gets frustrating. Now, could God change it? Of course he could. Turn us all into puppets. But God's going to just back out of your life. Have it your way. I'm not going to force you to love me. I'm not going to force you to do the right thing. So you and I make selfish decisions every day. And people get hurt. That's why there's sin. That's why there's evil in the world. Because God gives us the freedom to choose. And so God just said, okay, I'll just back off. Let you reap the results of your own decision. But God says, I'm an emotional God. Jesus dying on the cross was an emotional scene, highly emotional. Jesus dying on the cross was emotionally agonizing to him. It was agonizing to God the Father watching his son die that way, but doing it for your benefit. It was agonizing to the people who were watching. It's an emotional thing. And God is very emotional about you. Do you realize this? God didn't just go, oh, I love you. No, God loves you passionately, emotionally. God has deep, deep, deep feelings for you. How much he loves you. If you don't know how much he loves you, look at the cross. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die for you. That's how much God has emotion for you. And so God says, I want you, when I have such emotion for you, I want you to talk to me emotionally. Don't just do these little prayer things where you read a prayer and there's no emotion in it. Let me ask you, does tone make a difference when you make a request? Of course it does. You know, I mean, how about, guys, if you had said to your future spouse on a date, you go, oh, I'd like you to marry me. Please, I want you to marry me. She'd go, buddy, if you can't say it with a little bit more passion than that, forget it. That ain't going to happen. Do any of you remember when you were little and somebody was tickling you and it was fun at the start and then it got too much? And when you wanted them to stop tickling, you go, please stop tickling me. No, you go, please stop tickling me. I can't handle it anymore. And you are passionate. Passion, intensity shows how much something matters to you. Now, if you ask God about something, God, I really like this, but you're not passionate about it, God goes, well, how do I know it's just a... If you only pray about it once, you're not willing to pray about it more than once, and you never talk to God about, God, I really need this. I got to have this. I've got to have it. Then God goes, well, what is this, a wish or a whim? Or is it really a true desire? And so the Bible says this. Here's the third thing Daniel did. Verse 3, the second part of it. He says, I began pleading with God earnestly in prayer. Circle the word pleading. Pleading means to ask with emotion. It's not cut and dry. It's more than a mundane request. I'm asking with emotion. I'm pleading. The Hebrew word there is bakash, which means an emotional request. It's a serious seeking. It's searching with all your heart. It's earnestly begging. It's, I'm begging you, I'm begging you, I'm begging you. Please, 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 I'm begging you, please. I'm down on my knees. I got to have this. That's pleading. God listens to pleading. Makes me think about a story I heard a while back where there's a kid, a young kid, who at Christmas time, he wanted a Star Wars watch. And it was a really cool watch, had Yoda on it, and so he was bugging his parents. Mom, I want this Star Wars watch for Christmas. Dad, I want this Star Wars watch for Christmas. He just keeps on and on and on. Every conversation, every meal, he's mentioning the Star Wars watch. And finally his dad goes, Johnny, we got it. If you mention this one more time, you're not gonna get the watch. Smart kid backs off, doesn't do anything. About a week later, the whole family sitting at dinner, and the dad says, hey, you know what? It's good for us to talk about the Bible. So everybody just share your favorite Bible verse. Anything, or Bible verse that you know, you could say. And so one of the kids goes, John 3:16, because everybody knows that one, for God so loved the world. And the teenager goes, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, anybody can memorize that. Two words, Jesus wept. So, okay, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. That's his verse. So they're going around the room, and they come to Johnny, and Johnny goes, they said, Johnny, what's your favorite verse? He said, well, my favorite verse would be Mark 13:37, where Jesus said, I told you once, and I say unto you again, watch. Yeah. Smart kid, okay? That's what you get for putting your kid in Saddleback Kids ministry. They're going to learn Bible verses like that. Watch. And so, he was already. Look at this verse. In the Message paraphrase, Daniel 9:3 says, I poured out my heart to God, bearing my soul to God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever poured out your heart to God? Have you ever bared your soul to God? This is not wimpy, weak praying. This is gutsy praying. This is gut-wrenching praying. I'm pouring out my soul to God. God, I gotta have your help in this business. I gotta have your help in this marriage. I'm pouring out my heart. I am being authentic. I'm bearing my soul. It's kind of like Jacob wrestling with the angel. I'm not gonna let go until you bless me, God. Now, when was the last time you ever prayed like that? Pouring out your soul to God emotionally. I can tell you. You may have forgotten, but I can tell you the last time you prayed like that. As your pastor, friend, spiritual coach, the last time you prayed like that is when you were in deep, deep pain. Because we don't pour out our hearts to God like that when things are going great and we're skipping the hills of Jerusalem picking flowers and talking about peace, love, and Bobby Sherman, you know, just have a happy day, smiley face. No, you pour out your God when you are in deep pain. Is that the only time you pour out your heart to God? When you're in deep pain? Can you do it any other time? This is called praying with emotion called, quote, crying out to God.
I am so grateful for that message by Rick, and I hope you are too. And now here's Rick to tell you how you can partner with Daily Hope to take the Word of God to the world.
Today I'd like to read a testimony that really blessed me. It shows how even when you make mistakes, God's faithful to forgive you, and that He's always working in your life to bring about everything together for good in your life. Not everything is good in your life, but God works it all for good in your life. Now, this is from a man who says he's a recovering addict. And this is part of his story that starts when he listened to a Daily Hope podcast. Here's what he wrote. Pastor Rick, a couple of months ago, I started a 12-step program. In working the steps and in turning my addiction over to God, I searched out many sources for daily inspirational, daily devotionals, daily meditations to help me reconnect with the Lord as a support for the progress in my recovery. Now, in what just seemed to be a random chance, I just came across your Daily Hope podcast, and I blindly just picked a message from early July. I'm sure a lot of other people have done that too. Well, the very first one I listened to was on Romans 7, which is all about why do I do the wrong things that I don't want to do when I know it's wrong, and what makes me do that? I can't believe that was the first one you listened to. Well, knock me over with a feather. It was a bolt of lightning that I needed to hear. And it was followed by tears of joy because the very next podcast, of course, was Romans 8, which is the solution to my dilemma. That's right, folks. Romans 7 explains the mess we're in. Romans 8 explains how to get out of it. He says, Rick, it was like a smack on the head by divine intervention. So I joined a small group. And I haven't missed a week since, and I love it. And I have a weekly Bible study with a close friend who graciously offered to help me. And I subscribe to your daily devotional email. And I've continued to listen to your podcast when I go for my morning walk. He says, the spiritual growth that I've achieved in a relatively short period of time is really nothing short of remarkable. It's a miracle, and it's a blessing, and it's helped me turn my life around. I now understand why God allowed me to suffer through all my addiction and that the path to recovery is through Jesus Christ. From the bottom of my heart, Rick, thank you for all you do through Him. Well, wow, wow, wow. This testimony is a powerful reminder of how God can take everything in our lives, the mistakes, the sins, the failures, the hurts, the bad decisions, even destructive habits. And guess what? God can even bring good out of them. The Bible says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. It doesn't say all things are good, because not all things are good. But in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him. That's Romans 8:28. Now, this story is a beautiful example of Romans 8:28 and that truth. Listen very closely. No matter what we've done, I'll say it again, no matter what we've done, we're never outside of God's master plan for our lives. Your life is not random. In this case, God led somebody to Daily Hope podcast just at the right moment to hear exactly what he needed. Now, God could have used any method. He could have used any person. He could have used any podcast. But God, in this instance, chose to use Daily Hope. You know, friends, it's because of your support, your prayers, and your giving, that we're able to make Daily Hope Bible teaching available to over 35 million people every month. So thank you. Thanks a lot. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your support. This man, who is a recovering addict, was helped because you cared enough to support this ministry. So let me just say it again. I don't ever get tired of saying it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
If you'd like to help support Pastor Rick in this ministry with convenient automated monthly giving, please go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And when you do, we'll send you a special welcome gift to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate your support. Thank you. We hope you'll join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.